May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 871. Happy the man that bears the stroke of his chastising God, nor stubbornly rejects his yoke, nor faints beneath his rod. Hymn 871.
Thank you. us read again in the Psalms, friends, a short psalm, Psalm 96, and also reading in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7 and part of chapter 8. The psalm number 96. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his goings, declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Also let us read, friends, in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, reading chapter 7 and part of chapter 8, the first 12 verses. That is the second of Corinthians, the seventh chapter and part of chapter 8. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly, for the more joyed we for joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I had boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, who with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, so that ye abound in this grace also, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And therein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a will in mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, O great God Jehovah, the living God, the God in whom we live and move and have our being, we beg of thee now, Lord God Almighty, O Lord, look in mercy upon us. O Lord, we must come again, imploring thee for thy mercy. O Lord, begging thee, look in mercy upon us. Lord, we are favoured to be raised to a hope in thy mercy. Oh, there are those of us here who can acknowledge this. And Lord, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Lord, we come thus desiring to worship thee, our God. Oh Lord, give us to have that real worship, Lord. As the psalmist exhorts, sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, to sing joyfully and praise God. Oh, may this be our exercise, Lord, our concern, our desire, that we may truly know the favour of worship, Lord. Oh, how thou didst explain to the woman at the well, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, thou knowest how it was with us. For a time yesterday we were meditating upon the experience of the woman at the well, especially when she came and told the many people, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh Lord, we beg for that utterance, for that favour to testify, to be able to tell of thy love, to be able to give utterance to thy praise, honour and glory of what the Lord has done for my soul. Oh, those characters that thou didst so favour, healing them, curing them, doing them good in whatever way they needed, with those great mighty miracles thou, Lord, did perform. Oh, how they were soon led out and up into praise, falling before thee, swelling thy praises, speaking of thee. Oh Lord, oh we pray that as we have some humble hope that thou hast done us good in regarding our never dying souls, turn our hearts to praise thee. Set our souls on fire with love divine. May we feel great love welling up within us in return to thee, our God, for all thy goodness. Oh, may we truly have, even as we have been singing, Lord, may we have great thankfulness for thy chastising us, correcting us. Oh, to know the favour our God, our Heavenly Father's care, his loving kindness, his goodness, in not leaving us to ourselves, to go our own way. Oh, Lord, may we know and feel this favour, thy wonderful love, thy loving kindness to us, in so dealing with us. Lord, help us thus. As we've been singing, Lord, may we feel it deep in our very hearts. May we so be blessed to acknowledge these favours. Oh, thou great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we humbly hope for that purpose, that we may be found right at last, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. O Lord, everyone put in wonders of grace to God belong, let his people raise their song. Lord, we do pray then that from this sanctuary tonight there may be that wonderful sound of praise, honour and glory. Oh, that thou, the great God in heaven, might so receive our praises. Oh, all our prayers and all our praises, rightly offered in his name, he that dictates them is Jesus, he that answers is the same. Oh Lord, so give us that favour it may flow, thy favour flowing into our souls, our exercise of praise, all that enabling given that we may praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So help us, Lord. Help us in our daily lives to live to thy praise, Lord. Oh, do save us from this bewitching, sinful, wicked, dying world. Oh, Lord, we pray, keep us from the evil. Oh, keep us from evil that it may not grieve us. And, Lord, so give us to be continually kept and favoured in exercise to live to thy praise. Lord, we have to confess we come so very short, but Lord, we do know, some of us, that real exercise of desire. And Lord, as the apostle wrote, as we have read, that there may be a showing of the proof of our love in our conduct, our lives, our devotions, in thy fear, that we may so live unto thee. Lord, oh, we beg, do grant the enabling. Oh, may we have broken hearts. May we by thy grace be humble walkers. Who knoweth thou the concluding words of the hymn we've sung, so important upon humility. Oh, to be humbled in the dust. Oh, Lord, we would be there and there at thy feet. Oh, to be even like that poor Mad Gadarene was. Oh, when he was so favoured, thou hast healed him, cast out the devils. How he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Blessed souls, they may know this posture. Oh, they may know this sacred favour. Bless us each with this. Oh, be at thy feet. Oh, even too, Lord, that we might come by faith to the foot of the cross. Lord, thou knowest how we've sung today things relating to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we do pray we may be there at the foot of the cross by faith, to gaze with wonder and amazement upon the Lamb slain. Oh, thou knowest how we concluded this morning, Lamb of God, we fall before thee. May we by faith fall at the foot of the cross. Oh, may we have such a view of thee, our Lord, lift up. If the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Oh, all thy people shall be drawn unto Christ. Oh, we pray for it, Lord. We pray thou wilt bless souls here tonight. They may feel that holy drawing power of thy holy love, Lord. Draw in them. They might run after thee. They might know that power, Lord, that draws, Jesus draws the chosen race. Lord, do bless souls with these favours. Oh, Lord, we trust, we pray, with the single eye to thy glory, Lord, for If there are so blessed souls, we are sure and we trust we know through experience that this will be a cause, such a means and cause to bring out, to draw out from them real praise, real thanksgiving. Oh Lord, this is what we want to be exercising tonight, to praise thy great name and to live in prospect, Lord, that we shall be brought forth as gold. Who knoweth how it was with Job when he was so anxious, so troubled, so stretched, and oh, so much he wanted. He said he would fill his mouth with arguments, but he couldn't find the Lord. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come unto his seat. I would order my cause before him, fill my mouth with arguments. But, oh Lord, thy favour was that he should be brought to make that wonderful testimony of how he trusted thee. Oh, he knoweth. I cannot do anything. I cannot help myself. Oh, and I cannot gain his ear. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, we pray thus, and thy dear people here, if they are in such a place, such a state, such a case, they may yet still have that blessed confidence of faith. He knoweth. He knoweth all things. He knoweth the way that I take. And Lord, oh, with this favour, this confidence given and maintained in them, they might believe, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, oh, to be blessed to humbly hope in that way, and look on, Lord, and to trust thee. Lord, we pray, so grant to thy dear people, thy dear children, that they may thus be favoured to trust thee, and to trust in their God, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Oh, to know our God, our gracious God in these ways. Lord, do so bless souls thus to know thee, to know thy presence, Lord, as thou dost return. Oh, Lord, to know and taste redeeming love. Lord, we pray thus thou wilt bless souls and get to thyself all that honour and glory which is due unto thee. Oh, Lord, we might indeed be so blessed to worship the Lord, even this night in the beauty of holiness. Lord, oh, we pray, come and sanctify us here by thy favour of granting us to feel thy presence, Lord. Sanctify us wholly by thy word, by thy spirit, Lord, we pray, and that we thus may be favoured, feeling to be in the presence of our God. In his presence I'm happy, in his presence I'm secure. Lord, may we know, thus know, this favour, Lord, to worship our God in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Lord, as we think of it in other parts of thy word as set forth, and Lord, thou art the bright and morning star who draws our affection from afar. Lord, do come then thus. Knoweth, Lord, how we felt those things of reading of the context of the chapters in Malachi recently, and Lord, how it was with us, we think, remembering last Lord's Day afternoon, and Lord, how that wonderful word relating to the Son of Righteousness. Son of Righteousness, arise, pierce the gloom of sin and grief. This is what some dear souls may feel the need tonight. Oh, do bless them. Favour them, Lord. Oh, they may see thy face. And Lord, oh, as in the prayer in the psalm that was quoted by a dear friend and brother in prayer this morning. Lord, oh dear Lord, oh Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, oh give ear to my prayer, Lord. And oh Lord, look upon the face of thine anointed. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, Lord, unto thee shall all flesh come. Lord, we pray we may know these favours, Lord, and thus be blessed and favoured, Lord, confirmed, that we may know we are thy children. Seal it, Lord. Seal it with blood divine. So, blessed soul, we beg thee, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we might pray one for another, who knoweth each peculiar case of thy people, Lord. Oh, we pray for the young people, Lord, specially. Thou knoweth how they are born and growing up and going out into life in this terrible world, in this at this time, Lord. Lord, the awful state that we're becoming more and more troubled about, that our land is in. Lord, oh, thou knoweth how there is such worshipping of idols. Lord, it's not so much as figured in thy word, the idol gods that people made, a calf and so on, Lord, and figures of wood, and the people worship the sun. We will worship the Queen of Heaven. But Lord, it's all these things of sport and excitement of it. And Lord, whilst we would be careful not to reject everything in a wrong way, there's a right way in which young people exercise themselves. But Lord, as a friend, our friend spoke of it, oh what a dear servant of thine who's now in glory used to say, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh Lord, we beg of thee, save us from these idols, save the young people from these idols. Oh Lord, may they be solemnly affected to see them as all idol gods. Oh, how they just have to rid us of our idol God in our sport that we followed so much in our young days. Save our young people from these idol gods. May they see all the folly in them. Give them, Lord, an aching void the world can never fill. So deal with them, Lord. Bless them. Oh, that they might be seeking something better than what this world can or calls good or great, what this world can give. Lord, may they know one thing is needful. Oh, thou knowest how we pray it every day for our own loved ones and our friends and theirs. That thou wouldst so deal with them if it be thy will to show them that this is all polluted here below. Oh, there is but one thing that is needful. Do teach the young people what is needful, Lord. Oh, that thou, Lord Jesus Christ, thou art the most one thing needful. The best of blessings is thy love and favour. Our Lord, dear souls may be so dealt with to be brought to be concerned to seek thee, Lord. Oh, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Bless them, Lord. Bless the dear young friends here. Those who hast begun in, Lord, go on to be gracious. Those who hast in some measure, in some with, we believe, some good measure, deep measure, Lord, lead them on. Where thou hast blessed them, help them to remember it and to acknowledge it with great thankfulness. Help them, Lord, to go back to those spots and places where thou didst meet with them, or where they can say, bless me there. May they be so enlivened to remember, and may they be asking thee for more. Lord, oh, may they in thy time have a testimony. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Do so bless the dear younger friends, Lord, the young people. And so bless them and teach them, and in thy time establish them in the faith. Lord, oh, we pray in much love and affection for them, Lord. And oh, be with those that are feeling to be in the midst of the heat of the battle, Lord. We know well what this is, how hard it is when the fight is against us, when there is so much opposition, especially the adversary, the devil. And Lord, how he works within us, in our old nature, and how he gains advantage. He brings about a close conflict, Lord. Very close. Oh, when there is so little room between, Lord, the adversary and the child of God. Oh, he's so near, he's so subtle, so crafty, but sometimes so fierce. And the battle is hard. Confusion. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the conflict. Oh, Lord, thou wast in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We beg of thee, as thou dost so well perfectly know, thou give the grace, give that strength for the battle, Lord. Give that grace to resist. Lord, give us grace. We look to thee, the God of all grace. So grant that grace we need. And oh, we pray for the aged friends who knoweth them, Lord, and as we know personally entering into this time of old age, Lord, the grasshopper becomes a burden. Oh, we think of thy word, of how it is set forth in the 90th Psalm. And Lord, we are now, with our dear one too, we're entered into that is set forth in the psalm, as yet is there strength, labour and sorrow. Lord, oh, we beg of thee, oh, that it may be that spiritual labour, oh, that we might have our souls kept alive. And though there is natural labour and sorrow and affliction, that's appointed for us to know, give the grace, Lord. We trust thee for thy grace, that we may live our days out. Thou knowest them. Every one is known to thee every moment. None can pass the gates of death. Dear God, the warrant sign. And so, Lord, prepare us for all thy will, whatever may appear. Lord, we pray for all thy servants, all thy people. Thy servants on the walls of Zion tonight, especially help them, bless them, make them a blessing, and each assembly of thy people. Oh Lord, our mind goes to a number in the different causes who we love in thy name, as they will be gathering around the word tonight. Bless them, Lord. Be in their midst, and oh, come here now. Favour us that we might further consider thy word here together tonight. And oh, may we be enabled us to learn in thy school. Teach us to profit, Lord. We know thou ever teacheth thy people to profit, especially with the way of thy teaching causing them to lose, causing them to be made smaller, made as little children. Oh, make us like a little child, right simple-hearted, meek and mild. So come, Lord, bless the hymns, Lord. Oh, thou knowest the exercise of our friends, thy servants, the deacons, and for the church here, and the church members, Lord. Oh, that they might be blessed to be favoured together with concern and union and true fellowship in the gospel. Oh, Lord, as so blessed they may be able to humbly acknowledge and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So bless this cause, Lord. We humbly beg. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 755. Forgiveness, 'tis a joyful sound, to malefactors doomed to die. Lord, may this bliss in me be found, may I redeeming grace enjoy. Hymn 755.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would again direct you to that part of the first epistle to the Corinthians, the first chapter, in that part where Paul is acknowledging God's favour to the Corinthians. And so it is in my heart an exercise given to read on from the two verses we named this morning, from the sixth verse onward, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I hope we can, as God may so lead us and help us, consider this. And I humbly hope it will be God's holy, blessed favour to so bless souls, that you might know, we may know, and be led to consider together this great favour of being called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For friends, that is God's purpose. That's God's holy will for every one of his people, that they shall be called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we may be helped to consider, we should remember that Paul the Apostle was acknowledging how the church had been planted at Corinth. He being in the ministration of it, God had used him, and is now writing in love to them to stir up in a way, as we read in another place, their pure minds by way of remembrance, to acknowledge what God has done, that he has so blessed them. As we consider this morning, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There may be those here tonight. This is what you need. You need the testimony of Christ confirmed in you. You need the Lord to do that for you. And if we rightly, carefully consider that, you see, it's what you've already been so blessed and drawn into the knowledge of it. And what you had to be doing, if you've been drawn into the knowledge of it, the need of it, the knowledge of it, the favour of it, utterance, you may have had to be given to plead with God, what thou hast done, Lord. When you're feeling to need now the Lord to renew it, or to do more for you, a very good and gracious way, and this is the way the Spirit works, to exercise God's people, he gives them to be so enabled to plead what God's already done, and to plead for more. You see, if we are truly spiritual children of God, we will have something to witness of what God's already done. And I believe I have the leading of the Spirit to say to you, even you young friends, those of you whom God has begun to work in, what he's already done is wonderful. Has been come to you as a wonderful favour. And I'm sure there are those of you who do feel this and do desire to acknowledge him. But you do want to know more. You especially are given an appetite, a concern, and have a need to seek because Christ is so precious to you, you want to know more of him. You want to know more regarding what he's done for you. You want the seal of the Spirit that he has loved you and given himself for you, that he suffered, bled and died in your place, that he has shed his blood. You want to know your sins are forgiven. You want that forgiveness that we've been singing of, acknowledging in the hymn. Oh, may this blessing me be found, may I redeem in love and joy. But you see, I believe this with all my heart, that we should be acknowledging what God's already done. And the most blessed way of pleading for more is acknowledging what God's done and pleading for more. Be thankful for present and then ask for more. And I believe this is what is acknowledged here in this context as Paul continues to write. One more thing I would bring out before we go further is this. We were led to read in the second epistle to the Corinthians. And you know, you remember something of what we read. How the apostle there was writing regarding this epistle, that the parts of this epistle made the Corinthians sorry. It made them sorry. And he acknowledges it in his second epistle. But Paul's rejoicing was this. Not that they were made sorry just in an ordinary natural sorrow, but he was so pleased and thankful and honoured God with thankfulness. And before them in his second letter, he said how he was so pleased to know they sorrowed after a godly sort. Friends, are we learning in such a way as that? Are we learning by the teaching of the Spirit? Because some of us have prayed many times for forgiveness and God has favoured us with it. And we've needed to pray again for it because fresh contracted guilt has come upon our conscience through sinning again and adding sin to sin. And we've had to plead again for pardon, plead again for forgiveness. But oh friends, the experience of knowing it, some with some of you many years ago, you can't forget it. You want it. You want it again. You want it renewed. But oh, do we show that thankfulness that we ever knew it, that we ever were favoured with it. Oh, how important these things are. This is the utterance you'll have in prayer to God. What thou hast done, Lord, and I need it. I need it renewed. I need it again. Yes, I believe this is so much known and felt by God's people. So that Paul says, regarding them, they were blessed, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Can you receive that, friends, as a word of promise from God? Paul says, led of the Spirit, exercise of the Spirit, he wrote, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end. You think of that. How important, how wonderful. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so vital and important, so attractive, so wonderful to the child of God. This is what they want to be. They want to be assured of, that they may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. This includes, enfolds, it is involving that forgiveness we've been singing or praying for in the hymn, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're concerned again and again. Fresh horrors make us roar. Fresh troubles are felt because of our sin and unbelief. We are so much more and more having to feel so much unlike God's people, unlike what we should be. But God has his wonderful way of correcting us. We sung in the opening hymn, and chastening, correcting us, exercising us. And it's all for this purpose, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reality of this is in true spiritual exercise now. God's wonderful way of dealing with his people is to so bless them and make them, prepare them, that they might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a way this should be understood. The day of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the favoured gospel day, the favoured time of blessing. But it should also be remembered that this way the Lord speaks of also the terrible day of judgment, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is coming the second time, friends, to judge the world in righteousness. And the most important thing of the favour of God is that we might be so blessed and prepared that we might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes the second time to judge the world in righteousness, and when we shall have to stand before the judgment throne of God, of Christ. Oh, we need saving, preparing for that, that we might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was able to acknowledge that this is what these Corinthians had experienced under the teaching of the Spirit. And so he in faithfulness acknowledges it. And as he acknowledges it here, it goes on to this wonderful, so wonderful, marvellous reality of favour, the favour of God. He says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray, beg for help, that we might be led into this night, friends. Oh, that you, dear souls here, whom God has begun in and is teaching, you might know it, I might know it. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It melts my heart so deeply. I feel it so blessedly that I can look back to when I knew this fellowship, this holy fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I feel so much tonight, that love to you as you are before the Lord here tonight, that God, if it please him, would bless you to know you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing is more sacred than fellowship with Christ. Oh, to know this fellowship is the greatest blessing a soul can know on earth. to know this fellowship with Christ, to be called of God unto the fellowship of his Son. Think of this call, it's the call of God. It's the purpose of God, and God working according to his purpose, calling his people, drawing them, calling them unto the fellowship of his Son. Oh, you see, God's people, they must ever be a called people. They can't exercise themselves. They can't bring themselves. They can't do anything for themselves. They are called of God. It's the Lord's free favour to them. His way is according to his will to favour them by them knowing and experiencing his free, unmerited favour. Everything that God does, everything he does in blessing his people, his love so great, so rich, so free. And it brings the sinner to say, why, O Lord, such love to me? God is faithful. I want to trace a few things out. God is faithful. You see, he won't begin his work and then leave it. He won't leave it half done. He will perfect that which concerneth him. So if you have the witness, you have humble hope God begun in you, he's going to perfect it. He's going to finish it. He's not going to leave you where you are. You may feel in yourself to be stagnating tonight. You may feel because of your total inability to encourage yourself or to comfort yourself or to do anything for yourself. You may feel I'm in a dreadfully sad state. But you see, if God has worked in you, he's going to finish it. What you need to be doing, and I believe I can bring this before you in the right way, if you lay to heart your condition and it troubles you, then the only recourse, the only way for you is to bring it to the Lord, is to call upon him in the day of trouble. You may say, I can't do it. And yet while you're saying you can't do it, welling up in you is desire, feeling of need. And you may be in such a deep place where it's groanings which cannot be uttered, broken words, sighs and groans. Oh, the depth of this, the trouble of heart. But you see, God loves you. He's going to draw you. He's going to bless you. He's going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you as sons and daughters. Yes, I'm sure of it. God is faithful. Where he has begun, he must go on. He must go on to be gracious. He will never leave a soul whom he's quickened. They must be saved by grace. All Israel must to glory go as trophies of his grace. And so I believe, though it may be dark at this time, I believe there is appointed for each one a time of blessed favour. God is faithful. God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Ye were called. God is faithful. Oh, he is faithful. By whom ye were called. And he's going to go on. Wait on him, poor soul. Wait on him still. Oh, wait upon him. Call upon him. He will hear. He will have mercy. He will restore. He will come with loving kindness and tender mercies. He will favour you. I'm a living witness of it, friends. I have been in depths and darkness and trial and oh, so low. having had 5 days of gospel peace, then coming right down into the depths, and the archenemy Satan shooting his gunshot. The hymn writer says, nor will they be wanting of gunshot from hell. The old prince of darkness will furnish them well. I well know it. I have experienced it. But going down so low and being so far off from God, and yet the Lord can appear and come again with resurrection power and raise us up above the ground and draw our thoughts to him. Know that favour of the power of his resurrection, and to be able to acknowledge it. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Lord is faithful. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You are called unto this fellowship. There are evidences in your past experience. And God is faithful. By whom ye were called by God. Not man, not learned it in your head. Not anything a minister can do. It's God calling. God effectually calling. Effectual calling. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth, friends. It is so much so that power is exerted by God that so affects sinners, they are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And this fellowship, it's this favour of knowing your Lord as your Saviour, your dear Redeemer. Fellowship with the Lord, called unto the fellowship of his Son. It's a bringing together, a joining together, a bringing into union. The Spirit works to bring a poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner into union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. This is the will of God. God so draws his people, causes them to be called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called into fellowship. And fellowship must involve union, communion. We have fellowship with God through the mediator's blood. It's being called into the favours of redeeming love. Whereby a poor sinner, so troubled, so distressed, so perplexed, so troubled over their sins rising as a mountain, but they are to be cast into the midst of the sea. They are to be drowned in that holy love of God, the blood of Christ. Pardon, love and blood shall be food for dying souls. Yes. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. His close union, communion with Christ. Fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. I tell you what this fellowship will mean to you. The Lord will make it known to you. Bless you to feel it, to truly feel him. As he says, I died, that thou mayest live. I bore the curse for you. I bore the punishment instead. The Lord will, by the Spirit, seal this to you. Favour you to know him. Friends, I know it. I'm a witness of it. The Lord so blesses. God speaks. He speaks pardon. Holy peace flows into the soul. The sinner experiences pardon and sacred peace, forgiveness. That joyful sound is heard. It's sealed to the soul. They possess this favour. They have this passport to heaven, forgiveness. that they are pardoned, they are freely forgiven. Oh, freely forgiven. All thy people. It's a wonderful theme to me. All thy people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven, peace is made, twixt man and God, fellowship, called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, it's a holy enjoyment, it's holy peace, it's joy and peace in believing, fellowship. And what is communicated between the elder brother and the young child, the little child, the son or the daughter of the father, the child of God, the elder brother, so makes known that he took their place, suffered in their room, place and stead, paid the price. The Father's well pleased. Friends, we kindly taken by Oliver down to Braintree and preached the friends there from the words of the psalm, that psalm wherein it is spoken, how amiable are thy tabernacles and so on. The psalm which has the words in it, O God, O Lord, who hearest prayer, and so on. And the pleading with God, pleading with the Father, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. You know, this fellowship is known as the child of God is blessed, pleading the name of Jesus, pleading with God the Father that he might look upon the face of his anointed and see and favour the child of God to know they are accepted of God in his beloved Son. You really know the fellowship of his Son. You have fellowship with the Father then too. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, God is faithful. Faithful that so that everyone called by grace shall be brought into the fellowship. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, this verse should also be read and understood, connected with, involved in and with this context here. And remember what we said this morning in opening. You see, the witness Paul had regarding these people, they were dealt with by God under Paul's ministry. He preached the gospel. They were convinced of their sins. They were brought to repentance. They believed in Christ. They were favoured to know gospel blessing. And they were favoured to know and taste redeeming love. Favoured to know. And this is what is acknowledged in these verses. And they were blessed to be baptised by the Holy Spirit. And they practised, they showed in practice and in precepts. They were baptized and thus they were joined in church membership, church fellowship. But it all depends upon the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. A church is greatly blessed when it has members. Those added to it from time to time who are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. And by this fellowship that each one knows personally the favour of being brought into, called unto, and to have fellowship with God's dear Son and fellowship with God the Father, they have fellowship one with another. And in another place we're reading, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what you need, isn't it? That's that forgiveness. That's that pardon. That's that remedy. Oh, that remedy that was is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood and have it applied and sealed to your very heart and soul, that you're a soul blessed with pardon, blessed with forgiveness. God's great favour, His holy rich blessing of you, because He loves you, because Christ loved you and gave Himself for you. So you're favoured, and the Spirit seals it, you see. And you're sealed with love, with blood divine, and thus there's a witness. And it should be brought to consideration too. Paul says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You see, nothing can enrich a soul more than fellowship, being called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing will enrich a soul more in a way of honouring God the Father than being called under fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For the Father, oh, how wonderful, amazing the words, the truth of them. The Father gave His Son to die, the willing Son obey, this witness to ratify the purchase Christ has made. The people of God, they know and taste redeeming love. I'll tell you, this fellowship, called under fellowship, unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ, it will be this. You'll eat His flesh and drink His blood by living faith. This fellowship involves this favour. To eat His flesh and drink His blood by living faith. Feeding upon Christ. Knowing the perfect holy enjoyment of the provision of the gospel. Christ, Christ's all atoning sacrifice for you. Oh, to be able to stand before God with that holy, divine atonement of Christ on. To be so accepted. Oh, the favour of it. And to be able to look the monster death in the face. None can look the monster in the face unless Jesus stands between. And you know, this is the favour, you see. To be brought into this fellowship, to believe in Christ, to be in communion and union, fellowship in the gospel. Paul writes in another place, remembering the people's fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that was based upon this favour, being called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Sometimes we hear people talk about a course of truth as a fellowship. I'm wary of that. It could be claimed in a light way. But there's nothing light in this. It's sacred, it's holy, it's pure. It's the favour God bestows upon poor wretched sinners who cannot help themselves. It calls them unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's so many, it leads them into so many favours to consider Christ. All He's done. His holy mind from eternity. Willingness to come. Like we read how, though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And oh, there's so much to meditate on. All the favours of the gospel that are all in Christ. You know how we sung, concluding this morning, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood, There's so much to dwell upon in pondering and exercising, considering him, considering the Lord, considering him, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinner against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Yes, fellowship is by the Spirit given and maintained, and in exercise the child of God. Maybe for a season, a time, it's all in the Lord's hand, but they are killed unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the great favour of knowing and tasting redeeming love. And you know, it's absolutely certain when the soul knows this fellowship, they must be favoured to endure to the end. God will give the grace. He will keep them. He will uphold them. He will save them. Many, many times they'll cry, Lord, save. But he will be ready to save, ready to forgive. He will be ready to restore them. When they have been blessed with this fellowship, they'll know how precious it is. They'll want it maintained. It will give them to be concerned in filial fear, that they might not sin to grieve their Lord. Considered in that way, in a broader sense, perhaps, we should lead you to consider, you will be concerned about grieving your Lord through sinning. And you will not just consider maybe one particular sin or lust. It will be all the sins. It will include sins of omission. I don't want to grieve him with sins of omission in not doing what he calls me, what he commands me to. I must do. I must follow him. I must take up my cross and follow him. You will, in the tender fear of God, want to obey his voice. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. You will. Friends, I've been brought into these things in some wonderful ways. I would humbly testify that. Oh, may it be a small, everything is small that we can do. We can do nothing toward our salvation. God and God's dear Son has done everything, does everything in that respect, and the Spirit blesses. But he calls us to follow him. He calls us to serve him. He calls us to deny self and take up the cross. Self-denial is a blessed favour. Oh, it is. He gives the grace for it. His people are made willing to part with all to follow him. Oh, they are made willing in the day of his power. And it's through this great favour of being called unto fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, fellowship and communion are closely the same thing. Communion, fellowship. It's having that contact, that dialogue. You think of it, you can get, as the Lord leads you and enlightens you and brings it out, leads you into the sacredness of the depth couched beneath in the Song of Solomon. There's much there which relates to fellowship with Christ, communion with Christ. Oh, there's much there in that way. And when the Lord, it is acknowledged that he comes down into his garden and eats his pleasant fruits. Oh, this is the favour that the child of God is led into, to yield precious fruits. By what God's done in them and for them, they bear the fruits of the Spirit. They bear that fruit of humility and love, like we desired it in the opening hymn. That humility, love, and that favour to honour the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. For he died. He gave his own life a ransom for many. He died that we might live. He suffered in our ruined place instead. He bore the curse. His dear heart was broken for you. He bore the curse for you, your dread crimes, mine. once pierced his heart, sunk his soul in vengeful smart. Oh, may the Spirit seal it, but his sin atoning blood now maintains our peace with God. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day, and we hope he will address the Sunday school in the afternoon, if his voice is strong enough. And the collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Let us close with hymn number 15. How shall I praise the eternal God, that infinite unknown? Who can ascend his high abode, or venture near his throne? Hymn number 15.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss. You own and bless thy word. Oh, we beg of thee that many may be brought, drawn, called of thee into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Holy Father, bless thy children. Favour them with these great favours according to thy will. We beg for Jesus' sake. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each, now and evermore. Amen.